Back to politics now and the new landscape since Labour's landslide victory on Saturday night, winning an outright majority, the first time this has been achieved under MMP. New MPs are being inducted this morning and tomorrow all political parties will convene for their first formal caucus meetings. The Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has said she expects to form a government within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I spoke to RNZ's political editor Jane Patterson.
I think they'll be getting onto it pretty quickly. They already have a pretty good idea of what they want, and of course the ball is all in Labour's court. They can make the decisions. They're not going to be held up really by the negotiations or demands of other parties. And in the past we've seen parties wait until that special vote comes through, which is another couple of weeks away, at least another 3 weeks away. But this time there's a clear majority. Even the specials aren't going to change those numbers, so they are just going to take that opportunity and crack on and do it. So this week the talks will start in earnest with the Green Party. I don't really think there are going to be any other parties involved in these talks. In the next couple of days it's really settling in the new Labour caucus and the meatier stuff at the end of the week, towards the end of the week.
What do we think each side will be weighing up as to what kind of relationship to have? A lot of us reading between the lines with what the Prime Minister said early on and whether that means she might favour perhaps a supply and confidence agreement or maybe even something looser.
That's right. And I really don't think a coalition deal is on the table. I'm sensing no appetite from Labour at all to have Green ministers around the cabinet table. They don't need to do that, and I don't see them going in that direction. So it's really going to sit with a confidence and supply agreement or a cooperation or consultation sort of type deal. Now, in terms of the confidence and supply, there could be some benefits to Labour in being able to tap into some of the Green experience and expertise in some of the portfolios that ministers held last term. And the main one would be James Shaw on climate change. And the thinking seems to be if he was offered a ministerial portfolio, then the other co-leader, Marama Davidson, could have that opportunity as well. And of course, that's what the Greens will be pushing for. I think any talk about deputy prime ministerships or senior ministerial portfolios are just done and dusted. So that's where it's sitting, probably at the higher hopes for the Greens. And then on the other scale, looking at an agreement that Helen Clark struck with the Greens in 2005, something along those lines, they basically just get spokesperson role and they're a consultant and they have access to ministers. No power, no influence, and that's certainly in the mix as well.
Well, the other thing is the halfway house that Winston Peters had, which was to be a minister but outside of government. So they can design it however they want. What will each side want out of it? Obviously, Jacinda Ardern does not want to be in a position where someone in her government, a coalition partner in her government, starts stamping their feet at some point and the media are all talking about problems within the coalition. On the other hand, talking to Marama Davidson this morning, they've got to think about their freedom to speak and their freedom to criticise where they see things not going quickly enough.
That's right. And if they are part, if they have no part in those governing arrangements, then you know, you're potentially going to have a left-wing party, a party that wants to see Labour go, quote, further and faster, what the Greens chiming in from the sidelines. So politically, they'll be thinking about whether they bring the Greens into some kind of arrangement just to bring them a bit closer. And the other thing is actually the ability of Labour to fill all of those ministerial positions. I asked Ms Ardern yesterday, do they have the talent in that Labour caucus? Of course, she's going to say that yes, they do. But given they need, you know, the breadth and depth of stacking a whole executive is something we haven't seen before. So that could be another consideration. And of course, there's just the eye to the future. There's a massive majority this election, but as we've seen, fortunes can turn pretty quickly. And Labour will absolutely be thinking about the best way to position themselves with a party like the Greens for 2023.
The other thing is what the heavy lifting has been for a very small number of cabinet ministers. She's got some absolutely critical roles, including some where we may see more emphasis emerging, like infrastructure. They've clearly signalled they want to get moving on big investments in, you know, possibly quite extensive new infrastructure, publicly funded infrastructure. So what are going to be some of the big roles she needs to get into the safest hands?
Well, of course, health is a major one. We're still in the middle of the COVID crisis, and We saw David Clark get the heave-ho from that position. He may be in the cabinet lineup, but he will not come back to that health portfolio. So that's going to be crucial for her. Again, I asked Chris Hipkins yesterday, who's holding both health and education, whether he would want to or could have the capacity to keep going with those portfolios. And, you know, he just said it's up to the Prime Minister, of course. But that is part of the problem. There are probably six or seven really good senior performers in the last cabinet. And the other thing that you look at is portfolios, very important portfolios like defence and foreign affairs were held by New Zealand First. So you have to dive back into that pool of ministers as well to allocate those sorts of portfolios. So she's really going to have to look into the second tier of her corpus. Some of those MPs who were gunning for ministerial positions last term and didn't quite get them. Then you have select committee chairs and that sort of thing. But yeah, coming back, finance, I mean, I think Grant Robertson will stay in that and he will have a big hand in that infrastructure and the COVID business response. But they'll really have to be looking to people like Megan Woods, David Parker, Andrew Little to drive those big COVID responses as well, because it just cannot sit on the shoulders of Jacinda Ardern and Grant Robertson.
Or of brand new junior ministers. Let's talk about National. As we were discussing earlier with our political commentators, the polls have been incredibly settled both within and between each other for quite a long period into the selection campaign. However, on the night, National faring worse than it had feared. It looks like there was just another 2-3 percentage points, maybe 4, that pretty much made its way fairly directly to Labor, and we can only think about the strategic voting that may have been part of that. But what sort of situation are they in now as they return this week and start to pick up the pieces? What are the really, you know, what are the really big challenges? Just the loss of that amount of talent.
There's just so much going on with National. They have just been gutted. Their caucus has been gutted. Their morale has been gutted. Judith Collins is putting on a very brave face as leader coming out this morning, and no indication from her at all that she's going to stand aside. They are just going to do the big soul-searching exercise that every party does when they suffer this kind of defeat. But they really don't have too much time to wallow in their misery. They have to come back to Parliament, reform as an opposition party and get into it. So but the sense that we're getting from the caucus is that there won't be an immediate move against Judith Collins. You know, we talked to people who certainly aren't her greatest fans, and even they were sort of saying, look, she got a hospital pass. Okay, it was a terrible result, but let's see how she goes. Can she settle into the role? Can she become a bit more statesmanlike? Can she, you know, rub off the rough edges that maybe jarred a little bit in that campaign? But they will meet as a caucus tomorrow, and once they've farewelled about a dozen former MPs, then that's where it's going to start. They will be talking about it tomorrow and going from there. But yeah, they're going into an incredibly difficult time. And it's been really interesting hearing Judith Collins. They never talk about internal polls, but she's been very keen to talk about them in the last couple of days and pointing out exactly where National took hits. And she said that according to their polls, that second Auckland lockdown and that Denise Lee email that was leaked really did have a big impact on them.
The question also for them is, we talked about, you know, you need enough hands on deck to fill cabinet positions. If you're seriously going to start presenting yourself as an alternative government, you not only need people who confront the media and speak well and present themselves well, you need people doing hard policy grunt. And they have just lost so much ministerial experience and maybe about to lose more. We don't know what Gerry Brownlee's decision is going to be or Nick Smith's decision is going to be yet, do we?
No, we don't. And we've already seen the loss of, you know, people like Amy Adams and Nikki Kaye before the election, as well as, you know, people like Gerry Brownlee and Nick Smith. And a lot of that, it's the institutional knowledge as well. It's knowing how things work, knowing how to just get stuff done and how to get into that policy work. And they've already, you know, they've come out of an election campaign. So I think policy at this stage is probably not going to be one of their main focuses. They're actually just going to have to rebuild the caucus. But Judith Collins is going to have to be very careful how she proceeds, because she can't alienate the remaining senior MPs who are in various camps and have various views, but she needs to be able to pull them together, and that is going to be her first test. So as we saw after the 2017 election, there was a lot of unhappiness about the leadership not really accepting the loss, still sort of walking around saying we won the election and, you know, we've just been hard done by. And it took them a long time to get through that. They don't have time for that. And Judith Collins will really have to make sure that the loss is acknowledged, but, you know, pull them up and keep them going. She's not out of the woods by any means. So the indications that we've had is that there won't be an imminent move, but there are certainly people are really keeping their options open, probably, you know, I would say next year, when everyone comes back settled and back into the, you know, back into the term, that leadership question is by no means settled.
What of the party review as well? Because when you look at the totality of what happened here and what happened earlier in the year, I was reading a very interesting piece, I can't recall who it was this morning, where there was talk about the likes of your Chris Bishops and your Nicola Willises and your David Bennetts, because they were attached to the Mueller coup, then moving up the batting order and staying there under Collins, and they have seats now where others have lost. So, you know, what's in the purview of that review, and how thorough and wide-ranging is it going to be, and what's it going to result in?
Well, I think for a start, MPs like that, you know, history just has to be left at the door, because they are some capable MPs. They need the younger and probably more liberal side of the party to balance out, which has become a very white, older, conservative caucus as a result of this. And if you look, if you remember back to 2002, they did the party review, and there were a whole lot of problems identified with just the way that the campaign was run. They weren't campaigning on the party vote. There were lots of different problems, and there was Judy Coupe, the president, basically ran a ruler over it, and they had a big clean out and a big reform of just the way the party operated. So Judith Collins, you know, was saying today it wasn't so much the campaign. Of course, it was a bit shambolic, partly because there were so many changes of leadership in that lead up to the campaigns. You had billboards and slogans and, you know, a real problem with consistency and just organisation. But once they got on the road, until she started having those problems with the fiscal plan, of course, that was a big blow to the start of the campaign. Then they had the caucus leak. So throughout the campaign, they just had different events that started happening. So look, the review's going to go through all of that. To be honest, I think a lot of what went wrong is pretty obvious, to be quite frank. And yeah, they just really need to focus on regrouping and getting on with it.
Look, this is a government that is going into, you know, in our modern times, unprecedented headwinds as well. And I think that's the other thing that National has to get its head round, that we are still awaiting the fullest impacts of what's happening economically and what that does to the government's books, and then the questions that asks, let alone whether or not the COVID management is smooth or very, very difficult throughout the next coming year. So they have to be ready to take advantage of that and to try and look like they're a party on the rise. It feels a million miles away at the moment, but that has to be their ambition.
Absolutely it does. And as you say, there are massive challenges, and New Zealand needs an opposition. And the opposition is such a crucial part of democracy. We cannot afford to have a weak opposition. So they will have, as I said, to regroup and focus very, very quickly. But also, remember, they come back to Parliament with a lot fewer MPs, and that comes with a lot fewer resources. So they're going to have their staff numbers slashed. They're going to have, obviously, their seats and their influence in the House slashed. So they're going to have to make up for that with focus and commitment and actually loyalty. I think that's going to be a huge test for the caucus between now and Christmas. Are they just going to implode? Are all the different egos and interests going to pull the party apart, or are they going to be able to really just get it together and come behind Judith Collins, at least publicly as well? I think that's the biggest risk for them. And as I said, Labour needs someone to keep them in check. They don't have the votes or that tension within the cabinet or the executive to do that as they did in the last term. So huge expectations on National and all eyes on Judith Collins and how she's going to manage it.
It's really incredible that we've got the first majority government ever. John Key got there on the night and then lost a seat. The first majority government ever under MMP at the same time as having two strong minor parties in there as well. Good results for both ACT and the Greens. It's really intriguing. And, of course, the reason for that is the pummeling that National's taken. But we must comment on the person who's played MMP, the longest and the most, and is now out. Do you see survival for the New Zealand First Party beyond this election, Jane?
I'm really struggling to see a path forward for New Zealand First. Shane Jones, one of the senior MPs, has said that Winston Peters, the leader, the rangatira, has not announced or said yet that he intends to step down from the leadership. But I just wonder when Winston Peters views another term, not only in opposition, but actually out of Parliament altogether, whether it's worth it for him personally. I don't see a succession plan in terms of having an MP who performed spectacularly during the election campaign or has really shown leadership qualities through the last term. I think it's a very big ask, and my feeling is that Winston Peters could announce his imminent retirement and New Zealand First just fades away.
There's not really a hungry young gun in there, is there? Maybe I'm thinking of the likes of your Fletcher Tabatos, but if you look at your Shane Jones and your Ron Marks and your Tracy Martins, not sure you see the energy or desire to stick around in politics after the roles they've had and rebuild a party. It's hard to see where that future lies.
That's right, some good competent ministers in the lineup, particularly Tracy Martin. They did some good work, but that was within a wider cabinet. Winston Peters has always been front and centre of this party. He's had the name recognition, he's had the charisma when he chooses to use it to be able to keep New Zealand First in Parliament over the last decade or so. But yeah, I really struggle to see any of the remaining remaining members, former MPs of New Zealand First. Fletcher Tabatow, for example, is the deputy, and I doubt anyone would know who he is.
Extraordinary campaign, Jane. It's been one out of the box, really, to see that big a swing for one side of the political line.
Absolutely. And look, there's been a lot of talk about Labour and National, but look at ACT and the Greens. I mean, Greens have really bucked the trend as well. Having been a partner of Labour's in the last government, often we see the vote or the support for those parties really slashed. So actually I think they should be pretty happy with the numbers that they've held up, having 10 MPs come back to Parliament and ACT. Wow, what a campaign and what a good result for David Seymour. They are going to be very, very interesting. Of course, a whole corpus of new MPs and some, you know, many coming in with strong interests in terms of course, wanting to roll back those gun changes. But I think they're going to get a bit of a shock. They'll arrive to Parliament and realise that they really have very little influence. They will have a platform to talk about it, but in terms of being able to push or make any significant legislative change, I think they'll be quite disappointed if they have that as one of their main goals when they come in.
RNZ's political editor, Jane Patterson, thanks very much for all the coverage. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Jane was speaking to us from Auckland Airport. Apologies for some of that disruption noise in the background, but she has, along with the rest of our team, been on the road for much of the last few weeks.